Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good afternoon and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Eileen Gaffin, your host for Reputation and Influence. And our topic today is Women Fight for Equality. I've got a great guest for you. Our leading lady today is Patty Grimm. Patty is a passionate leader who is dedicating her life to empowering women and girls to be the best they can be in any endeavor they choose. She's gone from rock star to rock bottom and has come back stronger than ever. Patty has over 25 years' experience as a senior leader for global companies like Microsoft and Johnson & Johnson, and today she is a speaker and author and runs her own training and consulting company. Her book is titled Quiet Women Never Changed History, Be Strong, Stand Up, and Stand Out. Let's go kick some glass. Welcome, Patty. Let's go kick some glass.
Oh, Eileen, I'm so thrilled to be here today and be chatting with you. You know, this is the 100th anniversary of women, white women, gaining the right to vote. And so there's just so much that we can celebrate about women and how far we come. But, man, we have a really long way to go.
We do. And you've already got me intrigued with in your introduction where we learn that you've gone from rock star to rock bottom. I need to know the story. What happened there?
Well, it's funny. I did a Sue talk, the Super Unstoppable Empowered Women Changing the World. I'm not sure I got that 100% correct, but I did a Sue talk called Failing Forward with Vision on my story of how I went from rock star to rock bottom, how I went from being the Energizer Bunny who went to work every day and was the catalyst that caused people to have great days and work well together as a team. And I literally went from that strong, independent, confident woman to realizing that all of a sudden I could feel myself like I was falling down with the corporate ladder. I had been at Microsoft for 15 years, always in the enterprise space and in worldwide roles. So I literally have traveled to every country you could imagine or any country on your bucket list. I've been to probably most of them and all the ones on my bucket list, and so now I have to go back again.
Wow.
For fun this time instead of for business, because people think business travel is so glamorous, except what you see is the car to get to the airport, the plane, the taxi to get to the hotel. You work all day, you go home at night, eat dinner by yourself in a hotel room or maybe in a restaurant, and then you end up repeating that, rinse and repeat over and over again. So I literally have traveled the world. And I went from loving that job to literally being at a point where I was on the bathroom floor in tears trying to get myself motivated to get up to go to work one more day.
I went from
being the Energizer Bunny to someone that doctors were telling me that I had anxiety, depression, I was suffering from adrenal gland failure, that I was losing my hair, I was gaining 35 pounds. I literally could not think or make a decision. I couldn't even go shopping, and I'm a confessed shopaholic, because I couldn't think. I felt like my life was imploding on me, so I really crashed and burned. And prior to that, I'd been a high performer at Microsoft. I'd gotten amazing raises and opportunities and career options, including I went to Asia and ran the Asia-Pacific region customer partner experience team in Asia for 3 years, came back to the U.S. and literally felt like my world was collapsing around me. And
I hit rock bottom. So what were you able to do at that point, hitting rock bottom like that?
Well, I had gone to doctors, nurses, nurse practitioners, naturopaths, anybody you could think of to find out what was wrong with me. And they kept telling me, you know, you have anxiety, you have depression. So they give me one depression medicine, And I said, well, that one's not working, so we'll give you another one. And then, oh, you can't sleep, so let me give you sleeping pills. And I'm one of these people that reads all those warning things you get from the pharmacy about how you're going to have a rash or something, you're going to die.
Yeah.
And I believed all those things, so I was freaking out. And eventually I was sitting with one of my doctors, and she said, I need you to go talk to this woman doctor because she specializes in this, especially for women. And the doctor looked at me, and she asked me some questions and had me do some quizzes and things, and she looked at me and took out that prescription pad, or what I thought was a prescription pad, that she was going to write me another prescription for more drugs. And I yelled, no more drugs. I can't do this. I have to figure this out myself. And she said, well, if that's the case, you have to take time off. You have to take a sabbatical, or I'm going to put you on a medical leave of absence, because if you don't take care of yourself, you'll be dead in 6 months.
Mm.
So that's quite the wake-up call.
Yeah,
so I took time off, and I did a lot of self-care, eat, pray, love, meditate, journaling, positive affirmations, listening to positive music every day, doing things that made me feel strong, like listening to This Girl Is on Fire, and I just had to find myself again. And what I realized happened to me, which is what inspired me to spend 3 years interviewing over 3,200 men and women leaders for my book that you just mentioned, Quiet Women Never Change History, it really motivated me to do that. And so I had to find myself again. And so one of the practices in the book is about, you know, being able to stand up by writing a personal vision statement. So what I realized had happened, I was working 70, 80 hours a week. I was working every night and every weekend. And I gave up on me. I was letting other people control my own destiny and tell me, Patty, go left, Patty, go right. You should take this job. You should do that. Oh, you need to be working on this project. And I had given up control of myself, and I had never done that in my life. I've been in working for 25-plus years, and I went from being a part-time teller at a big California bank to vice president of customer and people excellence at age 28. So I'd always been a strong performer. And I'd never given up on me. I'd never lost sense of who I was, what I stood for, and the kind of person I wanted to be.
So were you inspired as you were interviewing 3,200 people? Talking to them about what makes a great woman leader. And by talking to them or learning from them, what did you discover during that process?
What was so interesting, and the reason I've got over 3,200 people, was because I would interview somebody like you, and you say, oh, you need to talk to Michelle, and you need to talk to Shelley, and you need to talk to John and Tom, and people kept giving me more people to talk to. I learned so much, and it was so inspiring, as I'd be interviewing, you know, 5, 6, 10 people a day, because it was so much fun, and I was learning so much. And what I discovered in collecting these best practices, because I asked a couple questions. What makes a great woman leader? Is there a difference between a great woman and man leader? If so, what? What are the barriers women leaders still face? And what are the best practices that people have used to become strong, talented, self-empowered women leaders? And so all that went into the book, and I kind of narrowed it down into these five principles, if you want to call them, or five best practices of what it takes to be a confident woman leader, regardless of your age, your stage in your career, whether you're just coming into the workforce, you're coming back from maybe taking time off for family, whether it be a baby or taking care of a parent, or wherever you are in your career.
Yeah,
these
so all
principles
these different five stages. And, right.
Yeah.
So what are those five ways?
Yeah, and so the first one is be strong. So the whole idea behind Be Strong is playing to your strengths, finding roles and opportunities that fit who you are. It's sort of like most of us are born either left-handed or right-handed, right? And if I asked you to take out your pen, and listeners, if you happen to have a pen with you, if you're listening right now, take out your pen and write your name three times with your dominant hand. So if you're right-handed, write your name three times with your right-handed. If you're left-handed, write your name three times or with your left hand the first time. And then I ask people, well, how did that feel? Well, it's comfortable. It's easy. It's your strength. It's natural. You're good at it. You didn't even have to think about how to hold the pen. If I ask you to put your pen in your opposite hand and now write your name, it's uncomfortable. It hurts. It literally hurts your shoulder or your hand because it's not a strength. And you can learn to write with your opposite hand, but it will never be a strength for you, right? So practice your strengths. Go take a DISC, free DISC profile, or pay for one. You can get them free online. And DISC is capital D, small I, S-C. Or there's profiles called Insights or the books by Marcus Buckingham on StrengthFinder that help you find your strengths and then find careers and jobs that fit those strengths. Because what I discovered, I was a round peg trying to fit in a square hole. I didn't fit.
So it eventually caught up with you.
It caught up with me. I was successful. I was still doing my job. I was still successful. But I was miserable. And my stress level was out of whack. And so if you play to your strengths, you're going to be more productive. You're going to achieve more. And you're going to have less stress because you're playing to your strengths.
Absolutely.
So that's the first one.
Yeah. Give us another one.
The second one, and I have a bit of an exercise for your audience, is that the second one is stand up. In order to stand up, you need something to stand on. Now, a lot of women have vision boards, which are great, but I want women to write a vision statement. My Sioux talk was called Failing Forward with Vision, because the way I got out of that rock bottom moment was I realized I'd forgotten to live my vision for myself and the kind of leader, the person I wanted to be, the legacy I wanted to leave on the world. I stopped playing to that role of Patty, of who I was and who I wanted to be, my vision for myself. And I started playing by everybody else's rules. And what got me out of that and back stronger than ever, that inspired me to interview 3,200 people and write this book, have the courage to write the book, and publish the book. Writing it is one thing, but publishing is a whole other thing. Pushing that publish button was like, oh, I did it.
Yeah.
But also,
yeah.
What if they don't like it? What if they hate all those things we get in our head? And so writing that personal vision statement is what brought me back, because I remembered the kind of person I wanted to be. So here's a way for you to write your personal vision statement. I want to give the listeners some really practical things. I want you to take your favorite pen and your favorite journal and go to your favorite place. Mine is around water. Right. I live in Palm Springs now. I don't have a beach like I used to when I lived in Orange County, but I have a pool and I have lakes around me. I have a lake I can walk to. And so go to your favorite place. Mine is water. Yours might be a garden, a forest, something else. Go to your favorite place. I want you to sit there in peace and imagine, like close your eyes and imagine in 5 years you're sitting on your favorite show or you're being interviewed by your favorite radio or podcast. And you're surrounded by friends and family, your bosses, your peers, the people who work for you, and you're surrounded by all these people. And what you're hearing is them describing words of the kind of leader you are in 5 years. Could be 2 years, could be 3 years, but 5 years seems to be a pretty good place to think about it. And then I want you to open your eyes and write down those words, right? She was strong. She was confident, made a difference, empowered people, had an impact, acted with integrity, was honest, was strong, was talented, was fun, was passionate, was compassionate. Write down all those words, and then I want you to spend some time, like maybe a couple weeks, and revisit those words and go back to that place in your mind and come up with the words. Typically can be as short as 3 words. My 3-word vision statement is to make a difference. My longer 3-word vision statement is to make a difference and empower women and girls to be the best they can be in any endeavor they choose. So it's usually between 3 and 16 words, but I want you to take that vision statement and put it in your office, on your bathroom mirror, on your computer, someplace where you're going to see it. But most importantly, if you're at a crossroads and trying to make a career and life decision, do I take time off to spend with my mother who may be getting ill and needs some assistance? Do I take that job? Do I leave this company? Do I take this assignment? Do I go on this project? And I want you to use your strengths and your personal vision to decide which of those 2 or 3 choices are best for you. Which of those 2 or 3 choices are best for you?
That's a great exercise.
super powerful, super engaging. Mm-hmm. Every project I do, every radio station or show I'm on, I ask myself, will I have a chance to make a difference by doing this? The volunteer work I do for young girls, where I do my 5 Ways of Being Empowered Woman Leader, Ignite Your Purpose with Passion workshop, I do that for young girls groups work because I know I can make a difference in the lives of 50 young girls, which I did the Saturday before COVID lockdown. I had 50 young girls from the eastern part of Coachella Valley. Where I did my 5-day, I did a half-day workshop with all these 50 young girls.
Helping them become future leaders.
Because we owe it to the next generation to leave this world a better place.
We do. And part of that is confidence. And you've talked about confidence and perfectionism, but you've talked about it, how these things can get in the way for many women. And I'm curious about that.
Yeah. So, perfectionism, let me give you a definition of perfectionism that blew my mind that I think is a challenge for women more than men. And it seems to start when we're young little girls and we're told to be the good girl, go to the good school, get the good job, play with the good friends, do the right things. I came home with an A- or a B, and my father or my mother was like, oh, you could have done better. Always that you could have done better, I'm not good enough mentality. My brother would come home with a C or D, and they're like, hey, great job, dude. So we're still raising girls with this perfectionism. So perfectionism is a personality trait characterized by unrealistic high expectations of performance combined with being overly self-critical and caring too much about what other people think. And so in little girls, that perfectionism turns into the imposter syndrome, where women will literally say, I'm not good enough. You know, I got this promotion. I moved to Asia, moved to Singapore with my husband, and we moved to Singapore to this new job. And I walk in the first day thinking, I'm not good enough for this job. I must have faked my way through this interview. They must have believed something, you know, on my credentials or thought I was good on this job, but I'm not good enough. And so we all have that in the back of our head from time to time, and we just have to let go of it. Understand that nobody's perfect, but you can strive for excellence in the things you do well. So like principle number 3 is be more valuable, is to stand out by being more valuable, being more visible, and being more vocal. And that means when you create your value, you become a master in your strengths and the things you do well. And you hire or find people around you that have strengths that you don't to balance you out, because you'll never be perfect at everything. Even things we're really good at. Sometimes I think, you know, I love to cook. Once in a while I mess up a recipe, but it's like, oh, well, I'll try again. So we have to use this oh, well mentality, right? When something doesn't go well, go, oh, well, what did I learn from it? What would I do differently next time to get a different result?
Yeah. I want to shift into talking about women's equality and pay equity and some of the things we've promised our listeners today that I would ask you. And, you know, you said, let's go kick some glass. And do we really still need to kick that glass ceiling? We see a lot of women in leadership, in politics, in business, private sector, public, more women on boards. Sometimes it has to be legislated in, like in the state of California.
Yeah, I was on the committee.
What's going on?
I was part of the National Association of Women Business Owners in California that went to Sacramento with Senator Hannah Jackson and several others and fought for that board legislation to be passed. And for the legislation to be passed that you could no longer ask what someone made in their previous job, which automatically limited women's pay. If my last job I made, say, $40,000 a year, and I'm going after a $60,000 a year job, and they ask me what I made, and I tell them $40,000, automatically my pay will be lower.
Mm-hmm.
Automatically.
So there's,
and
no,
women
there's
actually,
no equity there at all.
No. Women need to negotiate for higher salaries. A recent class out of Harvard the men that graduated negotiated for higher starting pay. The women negotiated a little bit, but the men on average made $23,000 a year more. They negotiated for that much higher pay, higher salary. So when you ask, do we need to crack the glass ceiling, we need to crush this thing. Yes, there are more women in leadership and in government, but it's still in the low teens. It might be 10% in some industries. It might be as low as 5% in others. It's nowhere above 15% of the women in leadership positions at higher level positions, including in the government. In fact, Senator Hannah Jackson, what we were working with on the legislation, she calls the men on the Hill pale, male, stale, and pale, which I thought was pretty funny. But here are some of the facts.
And that brings up the opportunities for women of color as well, you know.
Oh, it's even worse.
Yeah.
So here's some of the facts that I think will blow people's minds is that, yes, this is the 100th anniversary of white women gaining the right to vote. It took women of color much longer to get there than white women gaining the right to vote. And one of the reasons they passed the legislation, I just heard this recently, is the male legislators passed the legislation because they thought the white women's vote would cancel out the people of color vote that had been granted to African American and black people. So they thought the women's vote would cancel out that other group of people. So women still earn 64 cents to 79 cents where a man earns a dollar for that same job, and the difference is people of color. So people of color can earn as little as 64. Caucasian women tend to earn as much as 79 cents on a dollar. There are still 13 states in the U.S., and you can find this on the Internet. There are still 13 states in the U.S. that have not ratified the Equal Rights Amendment from the 1970s. And that was the amendment to grant women the right to vote, and there are actually several states that are fighting it to pass a legislation that women are not the right to vote. Women are granted the right to equal pay. I missaid that a second
mm-hmm.
ago. So
mm-hmm.
the ERA was from the 1970s to grant women the right to equal pay, and there's still 13 states that have not passed it.
Unbelievable.
So, and I had the opportunity a few years ago to hear Gloria Steinem speak at a conference. It wasn't like I was in the room with her alone. There were 2,000 people in this room. So, and violence against women is up. Date rape is the number one crime on most college campuses, and that's the girls that report that they were raped on a date, and those that didn't take responsibility and say, well, maybe I was too drunk or it was my fault or I'm too embarrassed to say something. So it's probably more cases
mm-hmm.
than that. But what Gloria said is that she studied through history the rise and fall of empires, Egypt, Rome, Greece, the UK, and now she's looking at the United States. And that's her parallel is that when crime against women goes up, societies start to fail. And you start to see more signs of violence. You start to see more inequities. I mean, what we're seeing today in the pandemic protests and panic in some cases is you're starting to see the American dream start to wither away as well. And I don't think any of us want to see that happen in our lifetime or our children's lifetime. We simply owe the world that we leave this place a somewhat better place. So we have to fight for pay equity. We have to get men engaged in different ways.
And how are you seeing that happen successfully?
IBM just recently came out with a report that I can send to you so we can put it in the show notes. So IBM came out with a recent report that said while a lot of companies are talking about equality for women and I'll put people in color in that same group as well, there's no teeth behind it. They're doing things like putting together an employee resource group for women or different groups, whether it be people of color or the LGBT community. I probably didn't get that acronym right, but they're putting together these employee resource groups to get people together to talk about their issues, but there's no real meat behind it. There's no real policies and procedures in place. I did a presentation for Disrupt HR, called Invasion of the Bro Snatchers from the old movie science fiction movie called Invasion of the Body Snatchers. And because there was something going on where it seemed like men were afraid to go talk to women. They were afraid to have a conference with women. They were afraid to take women to lunch. They're afraid to mentor women because of all the Me Too movement stuff that was going on. They were afraid of being accused of sexual harassment. And so the old saying is you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I think many organizations, we need to look at our HR policies and procedures and throw the baby out with the bathwater. We need to look at our job descriptions, our promotion policies. The companies that, are, according to the IBM study, the companies that are doing it the best have actual accountability measures in place. So they don't trust managers to be more inclusive. They hold them accountable for being more inclusive. They stop people in meetings when something is said that's inappropriate. Right? If you're an HR professional and you've got a senior leader who makes a comment in a meeting that's inappropriate, if you're brave enough, you may want to speak up at the moment. If not, you may want to pull them aside after the meeting and say, when you said this, this is what people in the room heard. You may have not intended to say something inappropriate or make an inappropriate joke. But we have to ban all comments and things that are inappropriate for someone, whether it be a woman or a person of color. And men need to mentor women. Research shows that women who have mentors that are men earn 13% more.
Wow. That's a good stat.
And I had some great women mentors, and I had two amazing British gentlemen in Asia want to be my mentors who called me in one day and said, are you happy? Now, when you have a senior leader call you in and ask you, are you happy? My imposter syndrome, little perfectionism girl in the back of my head said, well, I thought I was happy till you asked me that question. And they said, oh, no, we want to put you on this executive potential program because we think you're so valuable. We want to make sure you stay with the company. So they sponsored me. They didn't just mentor me. They sponsored me. They were willing to go to bat with the company and say, here's a woman who deserves to be on this program that only a few people got on a year, and have the capability and ability to do that. So mentoring is great, and you can get good resources and things from mentors, but somebody who sponsors you is going to promote you in the company.
Yeah.
They may not promote you
because
you're not
on
their team. They've got your back, right? They're going to not promote you, but they're going to promote you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure our listeners are going to want to reach you after the show, and we do have a link to your website on the Women Lead Radio show page that they can find that to find your company. But is there any other way that you would like to be contacted?
Yeah, and two ways. So one is you can email me. I'm pretty simple. You could email me at pattygrimm@live.com, and let me spell that. It's a little bit different. It's P-A-T-T-I-E. G-R-I-M-M at L-I-V-E.com, and that will get you to me directly, and I can send you some resources and things like a free guide of how to put together your personal leadership vision, a step-by-step guide how to walk through that. And then
yeah,
I have a special.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, yeah, you have an offer for our listeners as well.
Yeah, I do. I do. My book is normally $18.95 on Amazon. It's on Kindle if you prefer Kindle version, but you can get my book for $10. And that includes $200 in free bonuses, which is some training videos and some resources and guides for you. So $200 in free bonuses. And in the U.S., it includes free shipping and handling. Outside the U.S., you can still get the special deal, but you need to pay for shipping and handling, or you can get the Kindle version, and I'll send for the show notes how to do both of those. So if you want to get the $10 book offer, you can go to womenkickingglass.com/book, and you can get the book that way directly, or you can email me and I'll send you the link.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm sure everybody will appreciate that. And so, Patty, thank you for being our leading lady today. And that is our show for today. I want to give a special thanks to all our listeners, both in the U.S. and internationally, as we are an international show. We're going to be back again for another Women Lead Radio show on Mondays at 9 Pacific time, 9 a.m., and Fridays at 2 Pacific. And it's been my sincere pleasure to be your host today. Remember, Your reputation is our business.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.